We're recording now, but I still have to say I can't handle the baby beard on you. Dude, it's so great.
I didn't believe you shaved either. I think that it oh my God, dude.
Like, tell you.
We have to grow it back. This looks very strange.
We are twinning here on I'm Not Famous, episode 6 of this new themed fantastic season. And I don't want to say the theme yet. Those of you that have been watching probably know. But first, I want to introduce our guest because he doesn't know. We're going to surprise him with the theme. So without further ado, let's bring on HP Mendoza. Like, I need to add like horns and fill, like all that stuff. How's it going, HP?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Carrie's got a big smile on his face.
I'm so stoked. What you told me, he has no idea. I think this is probably the first guest that doesn't know the theme of this season.
Well, so my dad was the guest for episode 3 and he didn't know anything. So, you know, HP, I posted out to social media, and which will do better introductions for you here in a second. But like I said, I warned you, this one is farthest from formal of any of our podcasts. Okay. And my dad made a joking comment that he wanted to be on one. So I harassed him until he finally showed up. So we did one with him. And he was the typical old man with the iPad, and it was falling over as he was doing it. And his volume is way down here. It was fantastic. So, but anyways, HP, how are you doing?
Good. I'm a lot better right now. It was a crazy day.
Good to see
your faces. I haven't seen you guys in person in what? How long?
Gosh, it's been a while. So yeah. We met you at a number, three or so years ago at Tall Grass Film Festival. You were promoting Bitter Melon at the time. And we connected on Eating Raul because I did the interview with you. And when you explained your movie and not so much the movie itself, but more so the style you like and the things like that, it made me think Eating Raul when I said it. And you got so excited. And it's funny because Carrie still to this day is like, you guys bonded over some movie that the rest of us still have no clue what it is. And I'm like, it's a fantastic movie. So, Oh, there's a new one, is there?
The Criterion Edition, yeah. There's been remastered in 4K. Yeah, Eating Raul, Criterion Edition. Check it out.
See, I got the one that they released a handful of years ago. Now they're remastering everything in 4K. I like have to be rebuying all the new editions again. But yes, great movie. But so is Bitter Melon, which I own on Blu-ray as well. Maybe eventually Criterion someday. And I still send you, for my day job, I work with television, so I still send you every time those pictures. That's how we stay in touch, is I send you pictures of apps with your movie on it. I'm like, here it is on Gravitas or whatever. And I'm like,
that's so great. Right. Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm talking up a storm. I'm excited because we love hanging out with you. But let's just go down the list for those of us that are, or those that are watching us. Filmmaker, music maker, viral video maker. I think I'm sure you've, what else have you done? Have you written a book probably?
I've designed books. I haven't really written one yet.
Okay.
But yeah, not quite there yet. I'm not at my eat, pray, love era yet.
Not your eat, pray, love. Okay. So you are an HP of all trades though, I guess is the way to put it.
Hey, game developer. How's that? Yeah.
That's a good, that's a pretty big one. You cover all the Project Nerd fandoms, that's for sure. You touch a little bit of it all. So I know we've got an exciting announcement. Carrie, you've been quiet, so I'm going to let you why don't you lead us in, and then I'll play the intro video so HP can get a feel of where this episode's going.
Ooh. So you want me to give kind of a little bit of what we're getting into?
I'm going to let you run with it.
We are about to talk about one of the greatest franchises in cinema history. We are now on the 9th installment, soon to be in production, a 10th installment of this amazing franchise.
You ready?
Yes.
Ask any racer, any real racer. It don't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning's winning.
It is the Fast and Furious edition, HD. So I think it goes back to what, November, Carrie, when you were like, you had one of the movies on and we were talking about rebooting I'm Not Famous. And I'm like, let's just do every episode themed about it. And we made a joke about it for a couple of weeks. And then a month later, we're like, actually, we'll have each guest on. And at the end, we'll quiz them on quotes of Fast Furious quotes versus their movie. We're going to talk you. We're going to build a character for you in our competing Fast and Furious franchise. all these things. So HP, welcome to the Fast and Furious edition. By the way, not affiliated with NBC Universal, but it doesn't mean we're not open to it, NBC. Give us a call. We're here. There you go. So, HP, have you seen any of the Fast and Furious movies?
So here's a Shyamalan twist for you. No.
That's no.
But I know I know enough about it. I share a lot of the clips and memes. I have a lot. I quite often use that 4-second clip of Vin Diesel saying, "I'm a god of my father." yeah, it's whenever I'm in a meeting, like in a Zoom meeting, and someone's kind of a mush mouth, someone always shares that. Like,
well, we are on episode 6, so we are talking about Justin Lin's Furious 6 from 2013, and here we go. Since Dom and Brian's heist in Rio left them and their crew very rich people, they've scattered across the globe. However, they must still live as fugitives, unable to return home to their families. Meanwhile, Agent Hobbs has been tracking a gang of lethally skilled mercenary drivers whose second in command is someone Dom knows. Unable to take them down himself, Hobbs asked Dom and his crew for help in exchange for full pardons. That tune was $788 million earned. That's what that movie brought in. Good night. Carrie, where is this rank on your list? Is this one of you up towards the top? Or
so, so I have to make a big correction. I think in the last episode, I was talking about it like it was this movie. I had to rewatch it. That's how bad it was. I had to go back and actually correct myself and force myself to watch it again. I believe in the prior episode, I talked about Gina Carano being in Fast 5, if I recall. She actually was introduced in Fast 6. So this is that with Luke Evans as your main villain, or I believe it's Owen Shaw. So this was the first installment of the Shaw brothers, not Jason Statham, but Luke Evans and Letty, which is what you're referring to. Michelle Rodriguez's character has amnesia.
In this one?
In this one.
Okay.
So this is where that, as you gave that beautiful reading, so poetic, as the second in command was Michelle Rodriguez's character, Letty, who now is a villain. So it is definitely a correction. I would like to retract and issue a public apology. Fast 5, I believe I got it all wrong. I'll have to watch that episode. But yes, Fast 6, but you mentioned it. And I think that's what one of the things I looked at a lot. I didn't realize how many movies Justin Lin did. I don't know.
These ones or just in total?
Yeah, these ones. He did Tokyo Drift.
He started with Tokyo Drift, yeah.
Then he did Fast 5, Fast 6, which is the one we're talking about. He also did Fast 9, which we're going to see, which we will see in the movie theater.
You're going on your own.
No, we're watching that.
Well, I guess we have to at this point.
As we talked about full circle, the last movie I saw in the theater was Vin Diesel in Bloodshot. Now I'm going to see Vin Diesel in Fast 9. But he actually did a really, and that's one of the things I don't know, maybe HP, it seems like you had a good understanding of it. I didn't realize how much stuff Justin Lin actually did. And for those of you that have been listening and we've been bashing Tyrese this entire season, okay, entire season, I really feel like at this point, Tyrese was only in this series because of Justin Lin, because he directed the movie called Annapolis. I don't know Tyrese and James Franco. So it all ties back to Justin Lin being the cause of Tyrese in these movies. So I'm very upset with him, and he's continuing the series. But I've been deep diving into Justin Lin's career. But one of the things on a positive note, I really appreciated Scorpion. I don't know if you guys ever watched that series on CBS. As Iggy is familiar, what's that?
That's Justin Lin's series, right?
It is. Yeah, he actually directed the pilot. He stayed on as the executive producer. We actually were fortunate enough to meet one of the main characters also in Terminator as well, in Scorpion. I was really surprised at how much he's actually done, but I think he's most known for his either producing or directing of the Fast series. So that is my deep dive into Justin Lin. HP, what's your thoughts?
So I have very deep feelings about Justin Lin, because Justin Lin is, you know, in, what was it, like 97? There was a movie that came out called Shopping for Fangs that was directed by both him and Quentin Lee. Quentin, hello. And after that, he came out with Justin Lin came out with his own movie called Better Luck Tomorrow, which was a Paramount picture. It was MTV Films. And for people like me and people like us here in the Bay Area, we're watching what says Paramount Pictures and MTV Films. And suddenly all you saw were Asian faces. And it wasn't like in Asia, they were speaking English. And like there was a part of me that was like, oh, this can't be a movie. Right? Like, I've never seen myself on screen. What's this about? And it kept going. And I was like, wait a minute, who's Perry Shen? And who are these people? And that's a movie. Whoa, this is an Asian American movie. I exist. And so we all went and supported. We all went to go watch. And it was called Better Luck Tomorrow. And it's a great film. I do think it's a film. It's a great indie film that I think belongs in the Criterion Collection. And then I remember he came out with Annapolis, and I didn't really have any interest in seeing that. Because frankly, the trailer wasn't that well done. And I at the time, you know, it was like 2006. I was really into trailers. And in 2006, I had just worked on my first feature film with Richard Long, which is Coleman the Musical. And the thing is, when you do these films, you kind of like get overlooked by places like Sundance, at least in 2006. And like you get accepted to all the Asian American film festivals, right? And so what happens? I meet Justin Lin. And I was just like, I'm going to stay away. He's probably got an entourage. He's probably mean. And he at that point, this film, by the way, that I did was called Coleman the Musical. And it was a super nerdy, like $15,000 feature film where I wrote all the music and I played one of the leads and I didn't direct it. But anyway, Justin Lin was a big champion of Colma. He just everywhere we went together, he just kept telling people, I just want to take a moment to say that Colma the Musical is one of the best movies at the festival. You guys need to go watch it right now. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Thanks so much. And I'm like, and you did FF3. and I hadn't seen it. And I'll never forget his response was, yeah, you know, it's a Western, you know, it's fun, it's absurd. And I thought to myself, like, I didn't say anything. what did you think I was going to say? And the interesting thing after that was we went to Sundance in 2007 where Justin Lin was again. I'm like, oh, surely there isn't a Fast and the Furious film that's at Sundance. Like what's like at this point, you know, to me, Justin Lin was like private jet Hollywood dude now, right? And he was like, no, I made an independent film. And he made this film called Finishing the Game, which is sort of like The Office style comedy about the making of Game of Death with Bruce Lee, you know? And it's a super like satirical comedy. And I remember the movie not doing so well. People just didn't go to watch it. Like even though it won all these awards, it didn't do so well. And interestingly, because I remember he's like, this is what I really want to do. I want to make movies like this. And then we just kind of watched the movie tank. Finishing the Game just went nowhere. And what happens after that? He did nothing but Fast and the Furious after that. Because after that, he did Fast and Furious. He got rid of articles, right? And then he did Fast 5 as a rebrand. And then he did Fast and Furious 6. And then I remember he did Star Trek reboot
Beyond.
Beyond, right. Right, that's right, because he used Sabotage.
It's impressive. Like he's just HP's a walking IMDb page right now. I've got it pulled up here and he's just going.
I might have missed some stuff, but like Beyond was a big thing for us because it was like, oh, Beastie Boys and Star Trek, who did this? Oh, right. Justin did that. Then we're like, okay, that's super cool. So now he's branching out. And then F9. So like and then I found out through the grapevine that not only is he doing F9, apparently he's doing F10. And at this point I feel like, all right, I've run out of franchises. Why not? I'm gonna give this a shot. I'm gonna give the Fast and the Furious series a shot. I use the memes like crazy. I quote the movie. I there are so many things that I quote from Sung Kang in FF3 Tokyo Drift, and I haven't even seen the movies. And I'm feeling a little called out right now, but I owe this to Justin. So I will.
Well, you stole my quote. I'm so mad at you. In our trivia, you do not. I don't. Again, I deep dove. The quote is, Fast and Furious is really a postmodern Western. Justin Lin. And you stole my quote. Now, give me like 5 minutes to find another quote because it's going to be one of the trivia questions. So thanks, HP. Yeah, you, first you, of you all, did a great job of that IMDb because I wrote down a pretty good portion of it.
If it makes you feel any better, that's all I got.
Yeah, the I'm just blown away. This season was kismet. This was fate. We were, it came, you want to talk about, we just shut it down now. Like, Project Nerd's done. We've accomplished our goal. This is unbelievable. One, I love the fact that you were talking about the Better Luck Tomorrow. You are very familiar. You know Sav as equally as we do. And Sav was on for episode 4. And we talked a lot about that representation, right, with Chasing Amy. Right there again on it. And then amazing to hear all those stories about Justin Lin as we're sitting here doing this whole podcast themed on the Fast and Furious franchise. It's just great. I do want to point out you did miss one short film that I think should be called out. He did a 2012 short film called It Has Begun, Banana Apocalypse. I'm really interested to know what that's about. I want to know more.
I was on the school's Wi-Fi, so I was a little worried. You know, I click on it. Or I was going to get in trouble. So
you have to explain what a banana party is to a bunch of kids.
Yeah, maybe I'll leave that one for HP. I didn't realize you had such an intimate knowledge, but that story was awesome. Have you been in contact since, or are you just now kind of more, you know, watching his kind of career and you know, kind of seeing how that goes?
Well, so interestingly, I hadn't been in contact, and it was one of those things where, like, I think I got an email from him at one point while I was in Japan, like saying, "Hey, I'm going to be in town," and I was like, "Well, I'm not." And then all of a sudden, when I was in town, I emailed him, and suddenly, like, he had like representation, and he was just, you know, you become somebody that's like uncontactable, you know. Mm-hmm. And I respected that. I didn't want to be, you know, I didn't want to be the lead character of Eat Wheaties. He's just like, I'm going to stalk Justin because we know each other. We're friends. Like, you know, it's like, I don't want to be that guy. But interestingly now, and I don't want to dominate, but like how do I freeze dry the story? Basically from Colma to now, right? Like from when I first met Justin to now, I think, you know, I've been making all these, like, you know, movies just that are made to go to the film festivals and hopefully get sold or purchased. And I do. And I'm really grateful that, you know, that's happened for me. But I always have to feel that question of like, why aren't you famous? And I'm like, well, I'm famous to 30 people. That's pretty cool. Like I can only talk to 5 at a time. Like that's more than I can handle. And then I started thinking, like, but why am I not? Like, I want to do the Robotech movie. You know, why can't I do like a franchise film? And someone was like, dude, that's because you just don't have representation. And, you know, it's one of those things where I never really thought anything of it because people are like, you should get managed. I'm like, no, I'm managing fine. And finally someone's like, no, you can't just walk into Paramount. And like, by the way, like this is like 20 years later. I'm like, oh, you can't. that explains a lot. So what was great about that was I was shopping for managers, and you know, it's like dating. You know, you can't just say, hey, you're a manager, you're perfect. And so like, shout out to my manager Zach Book. Like, he's just this guy that gets me. We're a couple of nerds that love to do shrooms, and we just talk about that all the time. And lo and behold, all of a sudden, he's like, hey, this idea that you have for this arcade sitcom, and like, you know, like let's talk to some people about this. And like, as the names keep pouring in, and suddenly, like, I'm signed with an agency, now there's access. And all of a sudden, I see the names of the people who I'm going to be talking to. And like, on the list, I'm like, there's Justin.
There it is.
Now it's not stalking because it's professional.
See, Iggy, I think we've figured it out. So in each episode, Iggy asks each of our guests, to create.
I already know where you're going with this. I'm in agreement already.
Yep. So through this process, we have now started, I believe the series Untitled is called Slow and Cautious.
Yes. That's our new
franchise.
We're going to launch, considering how much money, what is it? Something like $4 or $5 billion worldwide that Fast and Furious has made. We've decided to launch a competing franchise of Slow and Cautious. Yes. Go ahead.
Slow and Cautious.
HP, we need you to be our Justin Lin.
Yes.
We need you to sign on as the director. We will create your studio franchise piece, Slow and Cautious.
So, okay. So basically you're saying that you guys will make Slow and Cautious and Slow and Cautious, or sorry, Too Slow, Too Cautious. And then I'll come in for like Slow and Cautious Philippines Drift.
Yeah.
And it'll rebrand Slow 5. Yeah.
This is sounding good. This is sounding good. So as of right now, we have our characters. We actually started it as saying, we gave the hypothetical, Fast and Furious 10 is already in pre-production. You get a phone call. How are you involved in the project? But as it evolved, these characters that our guests were making, we're like, this is our own franchise. We're going to do this. So we had our first guest. She's a voice actress, and she wanted to be, I think, kind of like a badass character that's stuck in a love triangle between Idris Elba and The Rock. So we have to somehow get them to cross over to our franchise too. Then we have an actual robot. Then we have a actual robot who wants to be the one who says that weird line, you know, before you get like have the big dramatic death, like, oh, we got to do this for Johnny and we'll live forever or whatever. And then you die. Let me see. My dad is the third guest and he just wants a role to where he makes a lot of money. In rewatching that episode, my dad was a former police officer. So, of course, he said he would be the one who gave the safety speeches and everything like that. I believe what was Sav wanted to be the kind of like the Charlie Day and Pacific Rim in a character in our franchise. And then we have Dez, who is a kind of cosplayer actress, and she is does tattoos and everything. So she wants to be the tattoo artist. But I think she had kind of like a twist too, to where she's the villain and they don't know it, is what we were going to do, is work that in. So you've got some stuff to work with. We expect the first version of the script on our desk by next Tuesday.
But wait, you're also the screenwriter too. So we're going to add producer, director, screenwriter. We're going to continue that triple threat that you've already shown us throughout everything you've done.
We're going to need you to do the music for it too.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll do the music, and then I'll eventually make like the Oculus Quest 2 version that's just a zombie shooter.
But then you're also creating the video game as game developer. At some point, you know, we'll bring in some of that voice actor. You got a little Scottish, but you'll be good.
But this is the thing, though. I appreciate the confidence you have in me and my screenwriting and directing. But you know what? I miss. There was a time after Coleman the Musical came out because I starred in that and I was singing in that. Can I swear?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I got cast as assholes for like a few years after that. And I loved it. I got cast as all kinds of bigots, right? I got cast as like a bigot cop who slaps women. I got cast as like an anti-robot in a sci-fi. And I loved playing these jerks. And I if you need a jerk for the slow and the cautious, like I would love to be a character whose name is Trope. You know, like he just
name him Trope.
He goes through all the tropes. Like he says things like, guys, I think you're going to want to see this. Or like, or enhance. Like he stands in front of a computer monitor and just says enhance until the whole screen's filled with like one big pixel. And I think my favorite trope in movies, in Hollywood movies, there are so many. But I think one of my favorite things used to crack me up is having the smart one kind of rattle off a bunch of stuff. And then having the guy like me, you know, invariably a brown guy saying in English, please. And and I would love to say that over and over, even though he's reduced it to the most basic form. He's like, well, what I'm saying is the meteor is going to hit the Earth Armageddon/Deep Impact style. And we're going to want to get off the planet before we die. In English, please. Hide. In English, please. And like, I don't get it. And that's true.
You know, as you're saying all this, which of course you have to cast yourself now. I mean, it's you have to be the overarching villain, though, like the one where you have the end trailer credits in an early movie, you know, or the end credit scene, excuse me. And then you show up more prominently as it comes through. But all I'm thinking of is with how comical some of this stuff is that it's like we need to just make a Zoom style a trailer for this, like with everybody who's picked their characters, and just make it comically bad. Like it's obvious that as you're switching views, it's on Zoom and you're in different rooms and stuff like that. But
it's like a table read of the first episode, the first.
Right.
Yeah. I like the Tarantino. I mean, you're going to direct, but you got to be in every one of your movies. I mean, we're going to work under your schedule there, HP.
If I get to be, you know what? Honestly, I will drop it all if I get to be Trope.
And there you go. Trope. You're in.
I like it.
SC10, by SC10, I would love for my character to have some redemption. You know, like, oh, he meant well the whole time, but then he has to sacrifice his life for the good of the planet. And so he goes up onto the comet. I don't know why it's Armageddon and not Fast and Furious anymore, but I go there and I have a gun and I patriotically say, in English, please.
You have to have the American flag with you to end it. Yes, as you put it on the comment, as we claim everything. All right.
Oh, and then we have to have Sav. Sav has his hand on the monitor. That's my father up there.
I think at the episode title in English, please.
I think Sav would be in for it for sure. But one last thing, we obviously you then have to come back as Trope's twin brother, who's another character after that whole play, right? That whole thing plays out, obviously. I mean, this is gonna, I think we're gonna make $100 billion off of this franchise. It's easy. That's low estimates too, based on our early market research. Low estimate, $100 billion. I think we're onto something.
I feel like Harry Potter just walking into Hogwarts right now. I'm like, what is this world? this is amazing.
This is fantastic. And we didn't even have to drink this time. Last time we came up with a disruptive parody. Carrie's drinking for us. There we go.
But, hey, I got 3 hours off every night. That's all I got. So.
Well, we're going to come back full circle on the Fast and Furious stuff. Carrie's already let you know that we end each episode with some quote trivia. So we'll get there. But before we do, I do want to talk a little bit more about what you've done. You've mentioned a few movies. Bitter Melon was a great one. But lately, you've kind of been doing something a little bit different. And you're about to drop a whole new project. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Apparently 2021 is the year that I do visual albums. Basically, I'll rewind to give some backstory, because that's what you do. I really wanted to make Bitter Melon, didn't have the money, but I got a grant from a Filipino conglomerate, and it was $100,000, which is more money than I'd ever seen and will ever see. But at the time, that was a lot, and it wasn't enough. So we had to raise a Kickstarter, raise money through Kickstarter. And my producers came up with this idea that if you pay this much, HP will write a song about you. And I remember like looking at my producer and being like, oh, I don't know. Like, yeah, that's a lot of what we have to edit this film still. He's like, it'll be like 3 songs. So I said, okay, I trust that. And when we wrapped, I was like, okay, so you have it slated for me to like address the Kickstarter backers via a video on Instagram. Who are the 3 people? And he's like, it's like 18. And I'm like, oh man, that's a damn album. And it was one of those things where like, I was like, I'm going to have to get to know all these people now. So I like got to know, and a lot of them, okay, me 5 of them I knew, you know, and one of them was a childhood friend who I hadn't seen like in 20 years. So that was nice. But the truth is when you're talking to people who have nothing to do with each other, it's kind of hard to make something cohesive, you know? So it's not really an album, you know? So what do I do? So it took me a long time because I also moved to Japan and, you know, I thought I'd finish it out there. And then the pandemic hit and sent me back over here. And I came up with the idea during the pandemic. I was like, you know, everyone I know just is really craving like socialization and partying right now. Every song on this album is going to be a dance track, you know, a different kind of dance track. And like, we'll have one that has, one will be disco, one will be house, one will be techno, one will sound like Eurovision, one will have like a Run DMC sound to it. And I called it Folks, based on the folks that donated their money to Bitter Melon to make it happen. And it's my thank you to them. And it's fashioned to sound like when you first start the album, it sounds like you're getting into a car full of friends and they're all driving to a club. And they bounce from club to club. And every time they go to a different club, the style of dance music changes. And 18 songs, finally finished them. And, it's really cool because it's, you know, I did a lot. I don't know if you can see behind you, there's a Commodore 64 monitor that right there. And underneath that's a Tandy 1000 SX, which is my childhood computer. And I know how to program it. I just know, like, I know that's not the coolest way to make chiptune music, you know, like I'm not a Game Boy artist, but it does the job. And so this is a chiptune nerdcore album. And so because of that, I have special guests like from the nerdcore scene, like Lex the Lexicon Artist and Megaran. And it's so cool to hear like Megaran like rapping about like my childhood friend. Like, I'm like, wow, I got like a major nerdcore hip hop artist to actually be on this album. It's amazing. So what we're doing on May 23rd through the Center for Asian American Media, because the film festival is happening, I'm going to be the closing night party. I'm performing the entire album live with the special guests. And I'm doing a lot of special effects and animation, like a lot of pixel art, to kind of recreate the story of going out with these friends on the town from club to club. So it's a live visual album, and it's called Folks.
I'm in. I already am in. You know this. Yeah, I got some teasers, Carrie. HP hooked me up with a little bit of samples, and I gave a verbal commitment for pre-order right there. I was totally in. This is right up my alley. Nerdy yeah. stuff. Right up. If you're watching a podcast on Project Nerd, it's probably right up your alley. If you're visiting a site called Project Nerd. So definitely May 23rd is when you're doing the big, is that when the album's dropping too, or are you going to drop it shortly after?
No, it's going to drop 2 days before.
Okay.
The actual album drops on the 21st. Because basically I just want to give people time if they decide, because this is all through Remo. You guys know that platform Remo?
No.
Sundance used it. Film festivals use it. And it's a way for people to host panels and make it feel like you're actually attending, because people can talk to each other during the panel, or there's like a back and forth in the Q&A. And so for this, basically I'll be performing and I'll be able to hear people. It'll be kind of weird, but it'll be cool. And what's great is I want to give people a chance to kind of jump in if they want to dance along. Like it literally will feel like a dance party. And if they want to jump in and sing along, well, they have 2 days to memorize the words, because the album will have dropped 2 days before the performance.
There you go. Awesome. That sounds incredible. I'm like super stoked for it. So, well, I've been over here trying to avoid eating too much ice cream. HP's been making a chip. Like, it's just all kinds of creative stuff.
Levers, though, right? Like, you give some, you take some. I, on the other hand, have been eating too much ice cream. I feel like my crumb coat has like 3 too many buttercream layers.
It's making that Atari shirt look good, though. That's all I got. I am very jealous. When you say Commodore and you're wearing an Atari shirt, you definitely win. So you're
from there. I thought this was heresy, because I'm like, okay, I'm wearing a Sega hat with an Atari shirt, but I have a Tempest machine there and a Commodore with a Tandy underneath it. So, like, you know, I think I can get away with some stuff.
It's a crossover. It's like with Batman and Daredevil, both fought Bullseye, right? So that's a recent one that's happening. I'm trying to think. I've got such a mixtures of shelf. Yeah, I got Hellboy sitting next to some Star Wars characters over here.
Yeah, I mean, there's behind me. I got Rocky II, American History X, and then in the middle, I got George Costanza.
those all kind of go together.
Oh, okay. This one here, you really can't see it. It's a Tour de France poster where they're all holding each other while they light up their cigarettes. So,
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. They're all like holding each other, just lighting cigarettes in the Tour de France. So, you know, it is definitely the broad spectrum here with cinema and TV.
What's the eclectic style? That's what we all got going, right? Yeah.
I think all of us are very eclectic.
There you go.
And I mean, Brack and his mom think so too. So, you know, like I just have stuff just like sitting around here.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. I was showing my fiance, who is not very into this nerd. She's a nerd as much as she tries to pretend she's not. She was the bad nerd, all the drama club stuff, but she's not into the pop culture parts of it. So I've been educating her on the stuff. And every once in a while, I'll just randomly belt out Brack, you know, we can get married, just the two of us, like from the from Space Ghost Coast to Coast and the Brack Show. And she just never knew us. So I had to show her all the videos of it. And I feel like her reaction was mildly positive. It looked more positive than negative. It wasn't as positive as some of the other stuff I've shown her. But anyways, I love Brack. Great, great call out there. Those are some pretty awesome toys.
My husband's also a big nerd, and he claims he's not a pop culture nerd. And I was like, you know, 16 years ago when we met, I was like, I'm going to change that. You know why? Because I'm going to take you to the Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie. And I took him, and I, you know, that was stupid. I should have just shown him the show, because I don't know how you guys feel about the movie, but I actually feel like the movie doesn't feel like the show at all. And I was really mad because I went on opening day and I waited in line with my husband, and I'll never forget, like, looking at him. I was embarrassed, because I was like, this is not what the show feels like. And I look at him and he's like, this is I'm like, you don't have to say that. And then I went home. I was like, no, I'm showing you Brack. And he just kind of like, you know, he kind of glossed over it, right? And then something happened, and I'm gonna credit Justin Roiland for turning my husband into an Adult Swim fan. Because basically what happened was we saw Rick and Morty, and he's just like, he's obsessed. And he's obsessed with Solar Opposites. And like, and so we have you played Accounting? Justin Roiland's VR game. It's amazing. And then he has another VR game called Trover Saves the Universe. And so basically my husband has become the biggest Justin Roiland fanboy. And now that we have no Rick and Morty to rewatch, because we watched the series 5 times because he's a freak, Mark, he's like, well, you know, show me where this stuff comes from. I'm like, we're going back to Brack. And frankly,
full circle.
I think because he's been primed by how fast Adult Swim is and how fast like the references are, suddenly he's just like in tears watching Brack, and he's quoting it like every day now. And I'm like, awesome, he's into this. And next thing you know, like, he was like all about like collecting the Adventure Time figurines, and suddenly he's all about like this character, you know?
Oh,
like,
no. I love his dad.
His tiny dad. And I'm like, wow, okay, look, it took Justin Roiland for my husband to admit that he's a big old pop culture nerd.
That's fantastic. That's great all the way around. I totally understand your experience. I'm a little behind. I had to go through a not so fun relationship for a long time before I got to this one. And so now we're basically 16 years behind you of educating her on this stuff. And she likes a lot of stuff. So we luckily is the wrong word, silver lining of the 2020 year. We got to catch up on a lot of things. So she made her way through the MCU. We've got through Star Wars. We got through all that stuff. Like, she has done that. And what's really funny is she has a group of other friends who are actually pretty nerdy too. And they've always tried to get her to watch this stuff, and she's never done it. And now they're so annoyed with me because they're like, oh yeah, sure, you just go watch it for him. But you wouldn't. I was like, that's called love, baby. That's
right. As you say, yeah. Bright points for you, man. If anyone should do it, it would be you.
I am a pop culture obsessed, since we're talking about it, and to the point to where I've raised two little mini pop culture obsessed me's as well. Like, my 16-year-old will pick apart he is the film critic of film critics, and my 10-year-old is racing. She rides horses on the weekends and then races through anime on the weekdays. Like, it's insane what they're doing. So yeah, it's fantastic.
You guys have all that. I have the opposite. The only movie that I got my wife to watch, I would say probably during quarantine, is The Proposal. I have tried everything. I'll be honest. I've hit every spectrum possible. I'm about to do Check It Out with Steve Brule just because I just want to watch it. But
she didn't watch The Fast and Furiouses with you?
No. As I found out, it doesn't have Betty White in it. If it doesn't have Betty White in it, then she's not going to watch it. So
Golden Girls is where it's at.
I've got to find out. Yeah, Hot in Cleveland, I think, is the next series that I believe we might have to like build a season around, because then my wife might be able to actually watch TV with me. But you guys are doing it the right way. I'm still trying over here in quarantine edition, trying to find the right fit for the spouse. But hey, we made it through the pandemic still with our significant others. So.
Yeah, kudos to all of us.
Right.
Actually, you brought up Betty White. HP, are you you have the Golden Girl shoes, right?
No,
that wasn't you. Okay.
What are the Golden Girl shoes?
There was some like Golden Girl. We were geeking out about it at Tallgrass about different shoes. And I thought it was you who said somebody had them. So it had to be somebody else that was there. I feel like David was in the conversation, but he's not that's not his. maybe Sav.
He came to the festival with those like fuzzy slippers. So you never know. He might be like that, that's you true. Know, fancy. See, footwear
I feel like now, like HP, you said it with Justin Lin. I feel like David, we're on first name basis with him. But after this movie, I don't know if you guys watched the trailer, HP, you might be privy to it already, but that thing looks absolutely amazing.
I've watched it
so many times. The cast in it, you know, from
spoilers, Jewel. It is absolutely amazing.
Oh, no, I've seen it. I'm so mad at you. Yes. I know we've been trying to get him on the podcast, but he is shooting in Toronto. But no, I am
whatever Toronto is.
Yeah. You might get back into the country. We brought it up with Sav, and I want to bring it up with you, as Iggy mentioned in our last episode. The community that we've received, you know, through the Tallgrass Film Festival has been absolutely amazing. You know, we wouldn't have
you as a contact, your personality, what you've brought to the Project Nerd podcast and everything you've done for us without that festival. So again, another shout out for the type of people that they bring in. And really the environment that allows us to really have these conversations and geek out about. I still remember when you guys realized you both love like musicals and the Eating Raoul, and we're all kind of in the background like, we know that we're not going to have anything to do with this episode. We're just in for a little buddy comedy here. So, but big shout out to them, because people that we've met, including who we're talking about, you know, I believe it's David Phillips, right? If I get the last name right. You know, mm-hmm. a big movie coming out, Eat Wheaties. Tony Hale looks amazing in it. Everybody else in it supporting that. Couldn't be happier for him. Hope that we get him on there and we can recap this. But again, big shout out to the Tallgrass Film Festival in Wichita. Please let us back. Please get vaccinated. I want to see HP in person. If I have to come to San Francisco to eat some shrooms with you, I'm coming out there.
I'm getting my second shot this Saturday, so I'll be ready for you.
Perfect. I'm tomorrow, actually. There and Carrie working, you know, and where you work, you've already got yours, so we're getting there. But real quick before we do move on, just to plug, we did have David and some of the other crew for the movie on a Nerdcast episode. So yeah, we are trying to get them on I'm Not Famous, but you can go to Project Nerd Podcast and check out that Nerdcast episode. And of course, like we said, the reviews for that. Additionally too, though, so we don't make it all about David, not only do we have this awesome episode with HP, the interview Carrie keeps referencing is back a few years ago from Tallgrass. Just search HP's name on our website and you can find that, where we talk a little Bitter Melon. So
you see the reaction. I want our audiences to see when that moment, you know, that romantic comedy, when the two just come together, like that's the moment that we all got.
It was the stepbrothers moment. Did we just become best friends? Yes.
It starts off very professional and like, oh, my, you know, I really wanted to do this. And I really, oh, wait, we're just going to completely derail this conversation and go in a different direction. But if it wouldn't have gone that way, HP, we wouldn't have you on tonight. So I am so stoked to be a part of this and Iggy bringing me in. But man, we've had so many fun nights. Your singing has always gotten me through. We mentioned it before we recorded. The people that are also going to go watch, you know, Mr. Blue Sky. I have to write it down, right? I believe it's I always call Mr. Brightside. Yeah. But when you I was like, Mr. Brightside, it sounds good. But when you did that last year during the pandemic with everybody, you know, and obviously they can get a good kind of an intro into your singing voice before your 18 track release. So I've been stoked. I'm really excited for it, and I will definitely be joining that pre-order. So, yeah, excellent job so far, and I'm stoked for what you've been doing and what you will do. So excellent work so far. I'm excited for what I know you're going to do in the future.
Thanks so much. I'm excited, and I'm excited to keep on showing up here. And I have a request. You come up with a reason, but I would love to be on with David Phillips.
Okay.
We get it together.
I think we need you to reach out now, as you mentioned that, you know, the people that you can't contact. I forget how you phrased it. I think we have to use your representation to get to his representation.
it's gonna get there. he is very busy right now. I don't know what project they're working on now, but it is to where if you email him or Facebook message him, it's like 11 p.m. at night. Hey, sorry, it was working all day. And it's like, but as you know, HP, that when you're making in the middle of making the movie, they are long days. It's not an easy industry, that's for sure.
Yeah, I actually, right before I got on with you guys, I actually just got on, I got off a call with my collaborator, Richard Wong, and we're already like, how are we going to navigate like this film that we're already writing together, and then when we're about to shoot, and one that we're expected to shoot in 2 months? Because it's one of those things where if you look at a calendar, it's like, oh, those all line up, right? But then you don't take into account the fact that everybody's going to want to be calling you at all hours of the night during the weeks leading up to those, and we're already like super stressed, you know. And like I was pointing out, I'm like, oh my god, look at this response, this came at 2 a.m. So if you ever feel like you're working really late hours, Rich, like remember that this guy was writing this email while we were asleep, you know. So we're kind of surrounded by like really busy people, and I was like, okay, yeah, we could, yeah, us too, we're busy too.
Yeah, there you go. Awesome. All right. Well, HP, we'll definitely plug all that stuff. We're getting tight on time, so I do have to roll us into one more awesome segment. Here we go.
What are you smiling about?
Dude, I almost had you.
You almost had me?
It's a Fast and Furious showdown. So as we hinted earlier, it is some trivia time. So this is the thing, HP.
Carrie, no.
I have no knowledge of this either. Correct. And I am not, as much as we are doing a whole Fast and Furious theme season, I have not watched these movies in a long, long time.
Okay.
And so he is going to ask us a series of quotes, or he's going to tell us a series of quotes. And we are just going to, there's no like ringing in or anything. Just each of us are going to pick an answer. Is it a Fast and Furious movie, or is it a, what's the theme, Carrie?
A famous director quote.
Okay, so it's either a famous director quote, because that's who he's lumped you in with. Good company there. Or a Fast and Furious 6 quote. It's specifically from this movie, right?
That is correct.
Right, okay.
As Sab tried to call me out, I did fact check all of this. I cannot reveal my sources, but I believe all of these are accurate based on multiple IMDb and wiki searches. So they might be trustworthy. I apologize to any directors that feel that this is misrepresenting their quote.
All right. Okay. We're ready.
All right. Perfect. Let's see here. Let's start off with, well, then it appears this inspiring tale has come to an end.
That can't be Fast and Furious. That's got to be a director. What do you think, HP? I don't think that's from a Fast. That just sounds too mellow for a Fast and Furious quote.
And I'm going to say it is Fast and the Furious because only screenwriters say, well, then, comma.
It's not even fair, man. HP is usual. Well, then, it appears this inspiring tale has to come to an end was a quote by Luke Evans in Fast and Furious 6. Gosh. See, that's the difference. Now you got to remember Luke Evans being British, screenwriter, probably looking for some British stuff in there. It ain't Vin Diesel anymore. We've got some eclectic talent in Fast and Furious. All right.
Eclectic talent. I mean, you actually, there is a lot of talent in those movies. I won't deny that.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. I might be up for a real challenge this time then. I don't know.
All right. Remember, the second you go through those doors, everything changes. Our old life is done.
What do you think? What do you think, HP?
I'm going to say it's Fast and the Furious 6 because I feel like if a director is ever asked to give any advice in an interview, it's them. It's themselves as Solo and everyone else. And I can't imagine a director saying our, unless he's talking to a bunch of directors. So I'm going to say Fast and the Furious 6.
I'm only going to say director again because the last one was Fast and Furious 6. So that's the only reason.
That is also Fast and Furious. That was when very, very dramatic moment. Dominic Toretto, Vin Diesel. This is when Paul Walker's character is having his baby. Remember, the second you go through those doors, everything changes. Our old life is done.
It's not wrong. So profound, Fast and Furious.
See, that would be cool if he was talking to the baby. You know, like, the second you go through those doors.
And the doors pop open and Trump's over there. English, please.
Oh, I love
the babies cry. As the babies cry, you're yelling at it.
All right, ready for the next one? We'll do three more, and then we're done.
Okay, that works.
So let's see. I'm not against the police. I'm just afraid of them.
Not against the police. I'm just afraid of them.
Man, I feel like that could be Spike Lee or something along those lines.
Judging from what I know. Wait, what do you say? What do you think?
I'm just gonna hold tight on the famous director side. I'm just gonna go with that.
I'm going on that side too. I'm gonna say it's a famous director. Just based on what little I know about FFCs.
You're both correct. As a caveat to it, I know, Iggy, you had mentioned a director. Which director do you think it is? You said Spike Lee. I don't know if you want to go and guess who the director might be.
Oh, I am going to guess, and this is a guess, but kind of an indicated guess. I'm going to guess it's Quentin Tarantino.
Okay.
It is Alfred Hitchcock.
Really?
Yeah. If you get a chance, kind of read up. I got an article that kind of talked a little bit about some scenes in Psycho. He was interviewed, and that was one of the quotes from the interview. And it goes into a really little in-depth dive into his kind of fear. And it starts with a story from his childhood with his dad. So it's a really interesting one. Thought throwing the police one in there might catch you guys. As you
totally did. But you know what? Now that you say that, I can totally hear that.
I have nothing against the police. I'm just afraid of them.
I can totally hear that.
It sounds like a very director kind of thing to say, very politically correct, right?
I just want to point out I'm on the scoreboard now.
You're finally on there. I figured at this point you're just going to follow it and go do the opposite of HP just to see if you get there. All right, two more here. I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but somebody has to.
Oh, God, that one could be either way.
I'm going to say Fast and the Furious 6 because I can't imagine the director not wanting to tell someone how to do their job.
I was going to go Fast and Furious 6 just because I've not picked it yet.
I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but somebody has to, was by David Fincher.
Wow, of all people, he actually does not want to tell people how to do their job.
It was a quote. I doubt he believes what he said, but I'm sure it was probably one of those kid interviews kind of thing. But yeah, that was definitely – that one took me a while. I had to fact check that a few times. His quotes are all over the place. That was the only one that didn't involve something to do with him or a very clear indication that he was a director. So that one took me a little bit. All right, last one. We'll wrap it up with you. Go ahead.
Okay. No. After. Well, I'll throw this. If you do decide to use David Fincher as a reference for a future game of this, here's a David Fincher quote that really is a David Fincher quote. It only tickles for a second. There's a short film. It's an animated short film. I don't know why he's in it, but they're talking about cunnilingus, and he says it only tickles for a second.
Wow.
And it's David Fincher.
The more you know things, which reminds me, we're not affiliated with the BC Universal, the more you know that part either. I'm pretty sure that's a BC, but all right. Okay. That was, Carrie, you're going to have to use that one now down the road.
I'm definitely going to have to use that. Maybe we'll have another director, maybe with David. So HP, when we get David on there, we'll use that one there. All right. My last one here. It's a Christmas comedy about brotherly love.
This is a trick. It's Fast and Furious. This is a trick.
I'm with Iggy here. Fast and Furious 6.
It's a Christmas comedy about brotherly love was a famous director, H.P. Mendoza, at the Tallgrass Film Festival in 2018 with an interview with Iggy Mishiaki.
I should have known better on that one too, because you pulled that. He pulled that with our first guest. Ellie Newlands is a voice actress, and he quoted like her stuff. Yeah. And then you caught Sav on Chasing Amy. He did a Chasing Amy quote, and Sav was like, missed it and was just distraught because like,
there's an asterisk. There is an asterisk. She pulled out the actual like 40th script of it. So I think it's still being appealed. So we'll let Sav.
He went to Twitter and totally was like, I think put a GIF and everything was totally heartbroken after that. So wow, good one, Carrie. Good on you.
That was probably one of my favorite parts. I think that's when it really stuck. You know, your relationship with us. But yeah, that was the analogy I believe you used about bitter melon was the, and I thought that was just funny. I went back through the interview today. And it's a Christmas comedy about brotherly love. I really thought you were going to say, well, Vin Diesel said it about Fast and Furious, right? And I thought I'd get you there. But yeah, that was one of my favorite quotes from your interview. As we mentioned there, you can see it on our site as well. But you know that really kind of spoke to me.
Thanks for the views, by the way. Thanks for the views. You got us a little pumping up those views by watching our interviews. So you can get
Yeah, listen, it was awesome. I figured I would throw you off.
You need to make a super cut of all the people that you're quoting to, you know? Because that's gold. Like, you got me. And I have to see Sav get got too.
Oh, dude, no. it was bad. Like, I thought it would be like you did, like, hey, you got me. It was, no, he was like, hang on. After we stopped recording, he pulled out and he's just like, was that in the rain?
The screenplay of his life?
Yeah, it's like, he brought Seth's out like the actual, book.
That's
like
the Clerks and Chasing Amy, like screenplay, like actually,
like the master. And he's like, oh, well, you got to read through this. It's like, was it the one in the rain? Oh, yeah, that's when this was happening. Like, of course, he didn't put that on film that I was right, but you know, again, all of these are subject to a secondary judge. But that one, I think, was one of my favorites. As I mentioned, I watched it again to really. It's been, obviously, as we mentioned, HP, it's been a long time seeing you face to face. It's great to see you even on a digital platform, but you've done so much for us, and I've really had a blast. As we mentioned with Sav, you were part of that diversity kind of roundtable that we were a part of at the Tallgrass Film Festival. And as you identify your pronouns there, I mentioned with him, you always do a really good job of educating in the way you do it. So I really appreciate what you've done for me personally, but professionally, you're awesome. I'm so stoked to see your face tonight. But when I get out to San Francisco again, we're gonna go to some karaoke bars, I think. I feel like that's how we're really gonna get to know each other.
You know, I think you guys are awesome. You guys were like the vortex for me. You know, like I felt like I met you because Tallgrass was totally new for me. You know, I was like, I've never been to Wichita. And yeah, like all of a sudden, every party, you guys were there and you knew all the songs I wanted to sing. And that was like, okay, these are kindred spirits.
I wish we could have recorded that because our audience will never understand. And unfortunately, I don't know, HP, if you knew, Iggy mentioned it, I believe, before. You know, we did that karaoke so early in the morning or so late in the night, depending on how you want to remember it. But that hotel is gone. So that moment in time, that capsule will only be around for the people that were there. So
yeah. Wait, gone?
They closed it. They closed it for good.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I know it's hard because it's such a great setup too.
Yeah.
Oh, Sammy.
It's gonna be
okay. Dumb, well, I'm gonna pour one out for my homies.
There you go.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, we are approaching an hour here. So HP, I do just want to say thank you once more. Carrie, thank you as well, prepping those quotes. We obviously, where we post this, you can catch some links back to HP stuff. Go and pick up that album. Go check out Bitter Melon. Go check out all the things. Go down. Make sure you're rehearsing his IMD page. So that way, when you eventually become a director, you can talk about how you ran into HP and how kind he was to you, even though he was an untouchable or whatever it was. So as for the rest of you listening to Project Nerd, as always, you can check out previous episodes of I'm Not Famous either on projectnerd.com. That's project-nerd.com. Or head on over to our YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube, search Project Nerd. And of course, we extract the audio and put this wherever podcasts are found. So Google, Apple, Spotify, whatever, hit us up. So projectnerd.com/podcast for 12 plus active podcasts right now that are doing cool and fun things, including this one. So that's it. I guess we'll wind it down. I don't know how I do know how I'm going to finish this night. We mentioned ice cream earlier. That's where I'm heading. I don't know. All right, guys, till next time. We'll see you guys later.